Greg Pogue, John Burton Show, presented by Omni National Hotel. Kitchen Notes Friday. Mm-hmm. First Friday of every month, Bill King Show, our show down there. Patton, they never get to go.
Either, I know. You know. Poor guy. Can we get Devlin to be here and have Patton come down and hang out with us and have some breakfast and boot the show down there?
Just stuck having my oatmeal, my pre-made Kroger oatmeal, while you guys are just feasting. I mean, it's just...
Well, that's good. You're getting into good nutritional habits at a young age. I like that.
Part of the job.
Get your oatmeal in the morning. It's a good complex carb. It'll give you sustained energy throughout the day. Get a little protein with that. Maybe some eggs.
Teresa Walker, Associated Press, listen to this. Can we bring her in now? Are you, you know...
By the way, Greg, your name's at the top of the box.
By the way, the person in your parking spot, you have now gone to level two.
Level two.
You earlier on left the sweetheart note.
Right.
And now the level two is in progress.
Right. Called the office and let them know and just said, you know.
Tow that damn thing.
Right. Get that thing out of there.
All right. Teresa Walker. Hey, Teresa, how you doing?
T.
I am good. Now I'm hungry, unfortunately. So. That's the problem with the start of this conversation.
Right.
Well, Teresa, you have an open invitation, and your husband, and I'm sure Music City Todd Rodermel will not mind at all. You're welcome to come down anytime
and have
breakfast.
If he's in town.
No, he eats too much. So, anyway.
I appreciate that.
Well, what part do you want to dive into? I guess the headline is a win, but the subhead is the first half compared to the second half, and that's been something that's been consistent in four straight games.
Consistency. I mean, you want consistency. I was double-checking. I think it was like 2:54 left in the third quarter, the opener that Dontrell Hilliard scored, and seven straight quarters since then without any points in the second half. I mean, a win is a win. They're back to .500, but what in the world is happening? Are the Monstars coming in at halftime, taking over the Titans? I mean, and leaving them with, at this point, it's almost laughable. I mean, I was going through all the game stuff this morning and looking, you know, in the first game, you had two punts, missed a field goal, had a three and out against the Bills. You had three turnovers in the second half. And two punts, a couple of three and outs against the Raiders. You had that interception, then turned it over on downs. You had a three and out, a couple of punts. And then yesterday, it's like they're going regressing backwards. The saving grace is no turnovers yesterday. But they started that second half with three and outs. I mean, 28 yards in that second half yesterday. It's like, you know, it's nice that the defense can hold up and get some turnovers. And, you know, the offense did get a string together, a couple of first downs there when they absolutely positively had to run some clock. But it's like, yikes. You know, and I saw somebody had a graph, you know, like the Titans, they're really good when it comes to scripted plays, but they're among the worst when it comes to, you know, working off books. So something has got to start clicking at some point here, right? I mean, you know, they better start piling up a few more points in the first half.
Well, yeah, you're right, T, 100%. What'd you make of, you know, Vrabel after the game? He came across to me as kind of petty, T. You know, I mean, he's right. We won the game, so back off a little bit. But, you know, this is a trend that probably can't continue the rest of the regular season as the competition gets better, this whole good in the first half, nothing in the second half on offense.
Well, of course, and guess what? They did win.
They did.
You know, I can understand maybe being a little picky and a little unhappy, people pointing out the, you know, it's like, oh, you've got this really nice dessert here, but geez, somebody stabbed this and ate a big chunk of that. You know, so I can, you know, they did win. And for Titan fans, and I listened to some of the post-game show yesterday driving home from my mother-in-law's, and it was like, you know, you'd have thought that they didn't win the game yesterday. It's like, you know, geez, this, that, the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's all things that they have to work on without a doubt. But you know what? You know what I did see? I saw Derrick Henry run. I saw him have nearly 100 yards in the first half yesterday behind an offensive line that, let's not forget, many questions about, right? Many, many questions about. Do they have things to fix in the second half? Absolutely, positively. But you also had a quarterback who, you know, didn't turn it over yesterday, right?
Yep.
Well, you look at, if you get some key components back. Now, we'll see what happens with Treylon Burks. That's another question coming up here in just a minute. But I was telling John, the offensive line, I thought, showed improvement. They didn't get much done in the second half, but they hadn't done anything in the second half all year. So they status quo there. But I thought it was encouraging. And the Henry 19-yard touchdown run where he bounced it to the outside and that nimbleness and then his acceleration, he could have scored. They keep waiting for the big explosion play. He outran the corner to the end zone. That was encouraging for me. That showed me, in my mind, you'd mentioned a couple other runs too, John, that Henry is back, that offensive line. But that game was won by the defensive front. Tart, obviously, that. Autry, Simmons, Naquan Jones, they controlled that side of the ball. And when Indy
and
could,
as we mentioned, I thought Dylan Cole did a nice job filling in for Cunningham yesterday.
Yeah, he arrives with an attitude, Dylan Cole does. Mm-hmm. So I think, of all the pieces that are still need to come in the secondary, not having Hooker, I know I'm on a speech here, but not having Hooker hurt as well, but I thought up front on both sides was where that game was won.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm working on my analysis right now, and the first picture I've got linked is Tier Tart running around with that ball. I mean, to have a ball, that's one thing they talked an awful lot about, getting hands up in the air and getting, getting the ball. And, they took advantage. Yesterday the Colts had DeForest Buckner back. They had Shaquille Leonard back. They had Jonathan Taylor. And it was in Indianapolis. You had your owner, bemoaning the fact that he wanted this rivalry flipped back the way that he was used to it. And the Titans just went in there and won a fourth straight game in this rivalry, fifth in six games. Guys, that's the thing. I think people kind of forget this. This is a rivalry. And here's where it gets better. Yes, they've got to go to Washington, but then there's the bye. Four games in. We'll see how quickly Elijah Molden, Racy McMath, certainly two pieces that could be very helpful. Will they be able to get back before the bye? If not, then hopefully they can be back after the bye to give you some much needed depth in that secondary. I mean, Elijah Molden started seven games last year. He was a key piece of this secondary as a rookie last year. So getting him back would be a big boost for this defense. Bud Dupree, he was back, but left again with the hip. This is a banged-up team, and yet after an 0-2 start, they have climbed back to .500. So, and they have a chance if they can go into Washington, a team that has lost three straight, their favorite quarterback, Carson Wentz, you know what he's going to do. He's going to throw the ball down the field and try to get the flag thrown. So they're very familiar with that style and approach that he has as a quarterback. This team after 0-2, if they can go to 3-2 and be at their bye at that point, hosting the Colts coming back off of that bye with a chance to, and oh yeah, Jaguars lost yesterday, so they're not sitting on the bottom of the AFC South anymore. So things are looking up. It's just that right now it feels like we're looking at the bug splattered screen, trying to see how many bugs we can pick at the moment. They are a quarter into the season and they're .500 after a lot of injuries, a lot of losses. They've lost their leading sacker from a year ago. They lost their left tackle. They've lost a lot of players, and yet they're .500. So there's lots of bad to point out. A lot of things they absolutely have to fix. But trust me when I say it could be much worse.
You're not wrong. Teresa Walker is our guest.
And would have, should have, could have, 3-1, right?
Exactly.
Honestly.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Teresa M. Walker on Twitter from the Associated Press. T, I know they paid decent money to sign Austin Hooper, but, man, I like what I see from Chigakonkwo. I'm starting to feel like maybe he should get some more targets from the tight end position. Too early for that? What say you?
Well, I think we're now starting to see him. It feels like the rookie may have been swimming just a little bit, a little lost, but with each catch, that confidence has got to be growing for that young man. And, we know his physical abilities and attributes. So at this point, Yeah, I'm working to try to get him the ball more and, you know, maybe get him out into a seam route because, you know, hello, we all have memories of what Delanie Walker could do when he got the ball in the seam. And Chigakwonkwo's got some serious speed. But, yeah, I mean, that's another piece that, you know, they're getting the ball to their playmakers. And, you know, Okwonkwo is definitely one of those that I expected to be in that category this year. Why? He is fast. And when you're fast, you can do some things. And, you know, and it's just a matter, I think, of getting him comfortable. I mean, we've seen Treylon Burks' confidence growing by game. I will say this, rookie mistake yesterday, the ankle. I mean, you know, it's tough. I'll say this. I would be stunned to see him playing against Washington with the reports that he left Lucas Oil Stadium on crutches in a walking boot, especially when you've got the bye coming up after this. But rookie mistake, when you're hurt, hit the field. It's called an injury timeout.
Lay down. Okay?
Yep.
Lay down.
He'll learn. That's a teachable moment. You're right.
Yeah, hey. Don't rush back to the line. That affected the next play, and they ended up having to punt. So, you know, as soon as they checked him out, that's got to be one of the first things I hope somebody told him. Dude, next time, hit the ground.
Yeah.
You know, if you are going to go three and out three times in a row to start the second half, it's good to have a punter that can knock the hell out of it. 52.8 for Ryan Stonehouse. Just – the weapon that he can be to mm-hmm. flip a field, I think sort of maybe goes into it a little bit as well. Maybe because you figure, you know, obviously they're going to come back. They're going to have to score two touchdowns in the second half, right, the Colts. Or you turn the ball over is how you're going to essentially lose that game. Defense came up with some big plays, but Stonehouse has become a weapon.
Nobody's pining for Brett Kern at the moment.
See, you keep bringing the good.
Oh, I love Brett.
I know you, but every time you always have that. Hold on, Teresa. Every time we mention Stonehouse, or whatever.
Stanhouse.
Okay, listen, don't come back at me. You always have a caveat of, well, no one but Brett Kern. That's exactly how you say it.
Well, there was a lot of consternation when Brett Kern was shown the door, and we love Brett.
All right, so no more asterisks.
All right, sorry, Greg.
Here's the thing, though. Ryan Stonehouse is leading the league in gross punting average, 56.2. He's second in net average, which is the more important number, 46.9. The rookie, the undrafted rookie, is having a heck of a start of the season, and he's only got two touchbacks. I mean, you know, the way he's getting the ball, and seven punts down inside the 20. So, I mean, that is impressive for a rookie who is learning every single day that he is in the NFL. I mean, every day we go out to the Titans, you know, Wednesday through Friday, he's over there working on the jugs machine, working on his skills, holding the ball and everything. And I mean, this was a move, you know, talk about some found money. You know, he's on an undrafted rookie contract and he's leading the league in gross punting average. That's a win-win.
Yeah. Nobody's thinking about Brett Kern either.
See, every time you do that, every time we bring up Ryan Stonehouse, you have to bring up Brett Kern.
Hey, Teresa.
Jerk.
Thank you.
Richard.
I set myself up for that. Yeah. I was a little harsh.
You were, man.
The Grizzlies. Grizzlies open preseason tonight.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks from Wednesday night is the season opener. You know who they open against? The Knicks.
Oh, the New York Knicks.
Yeah, the Knicks.
We are the New York Knicks.
Uh-huh. How was your trip last Monday down to Memphis? Expectations or the anticipation is high down there.
Mm-hmm. Well, the expectations are very high. They actually opened the preseason Saturday night. John, the veterans, didn't play. It was mostly rookies and everybody else. They're very excited, and they've got a bunch of rookies. Guys, keep an eye on Kenny Lofton Jr., or as they call him, Junior Lofton. I mean, this is a kid undrafted. He is just a massive piece of man, and yet he plays. Like, you know, they loved him in summer league. You know, everything I was seeing Saturday night, they were loving what he was doing in the preseason. This is a guy who, you know, by all accounts, shouldn't make an NBA roster, but he may end up forcing his way on there. And he's one of five rookies that they've got. So a team that did not have anyone over 30 score a point for them last year is in position to be even younger this year until Danny Green gets off, gets healed up from a knee injury. He's sticking around, and I tell you, because he sees that he wants to be a part of this team. You know, this is a guy who, you know, kind of cut his NBA teeth in San Antonio, where he, you know, got to know Taylor Jenkins, now the Grizzlies coach. He sees his team. He said it. He wants to be on the wing shooting threes and taking passes from Ja Morant when it matters most. This is a team that's, you know, they spent the entire offseason working hard so that they could be ready for a long run next spring. And, you know, they're treating this last playoff run as an eye opener for what they need to do to compete to be the best. So I'm very curious to see what they end up doing this year. But, boy, yeah, this is going to be a fun season for the Grizzlies.
Did you talk to Bane, Teresa?
I did talk to Bane. Funny thing about Desmond Bane, Danny Green said, I love this kid. I love watching him because and Bane is so – Danny Green is somebody that Desmond Bane, you know, used to watch growing up, and now they're in the NBA together on the same team. And Danny Green says, I love watching this kid because he's shooting threes with the likes of Curry and Klay Thompson. He's riding himself into that group of exclusive three-point shooters, and he says he's got a body that doesn't look like he should be able to play in the NBA. So that was a very funny line.
Well,
he looks more like Bane of the Batman movies than he does an NBA three-point shooter, I'm just saying.
Of course, okay. We have the
Teresa likes me.
You know, what I've just realized that with the Grizzlies season starting, we now have months ahead of that.
Pokey.
We have months ahead of that.
You're welcome.
And I'm a Grizzlies honk. I like the Grizzlies. You know. Oh my gosh.
They're welcome. Be keeping me very busy each spring for the next several years.
Well, and that's good. It's good for us. We've got Grizzlies games all season long now. If the Braves are in the playoffs, they get bumped for that. I'll just tell everybody right now in some of our other contractual agreements. But we are happy to be, once again, the Nashville affiliate for the Memphis Grizzlies.
That's right.
Yep. So, and the Knicks game, by the way, 2 weeks from Wednesday night, just for you, John, it's the ESPN game.
There you go.
You can watch it instead of Bally Sports. You can always watch it there. Teresa, thank you.
Thanks, T.
My pleasure, guys.
All right.
And keep your Christmas night open. Grizzlies are playing at Warriors that night, the last game on Christmas night, the coveted Christmas night game for the NBA.
Wow. So
that's what day's what Christmas on? The 25th?
December 25th.
Yeah, okay.
December 25th. It's every year.
Sunday.
Okay. See ya.
Thanks, T.
Bye,
it's a Sunday this year, meaning we'll get